The sexual harassment allegations against film executive Harvey Weinstein and the revelations that former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly settled a series of complaints against him for more than $30 million have reignited the concerns about what women face in many situations, including the workplace. Recently in the Arizona Republic, former newspaper executive Julia Wallace wrote about her own experience with sexual harassment and wondered whether she and her female peers could have done more to act on the harassment and potentially limit the damage done to women of subsequent generations. I spoke with Julia Wallace and started the conversation by asking her to share the specific experience of working in Atlanta that's at the core of her essay.
The story I shared in the Republic is something that happened back, probably about 2001, 2002. I had been in Phoenix as managing editor of the Republic. I left here, went to Atlanta, where I became editor of the newspaper. And so as part of that, I did a listening tour and I went out to meet a lot of the community leaders and had a lovely chat with a gentleman who was very, very well connected in Atlanta. And as we're preparing to leave, he grabs me and kisses me on the lips. And I have to say, I reacted in some way. I don't know what I did. He sort of stepped back and said, "Oh, that's just how we do things here in the South." And I just sort of smiled and laughed and sort of went about my way. And I sort of reflected on that and thought, it's something that we as baby boomers did wrong. I mean, it wasn't, you know, clearly this wasn't to the extent of some of the allegations in Hollywood or anything like that. But I think in many ways it was the same point, that we were all complicit in our silence and our smiles, that we let things like this happen and we didn't stand up and speak loudly enough against them.
When we talk about things that maybe you think you could have done differently, mm-hmm. or maybe someone in your equal position, is there anything specific that comes to mind?
I think I needed to talk to men more than I did about the issues. Obviously, as you know, women would sit around, would talk about it. And I certainly did talk to men about it on occasion. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately that's where it's got to change. It's got to be men saying, yeah, that's right, I'm not going to act that way. And when I see that kind of behavior, I'm going to sort of say something. I mean, we did an exercise in my ethics class at the Cronkite School where they had to talk about, you know, you see, I forget the exact example, but it was, you know, you see something that is gender discrimination, what do you do? And, you know, part of it is if you're a bystander, you're still involved. And how do you help change the environment? And I think that more focus on that, as opposed to, I think a lot of times we just think about the parties involved and like, oh, you should come forward and you shouldn't do it. And you know, you focus on them instead of thinking it is all of us. We all have a contribution. So if somebody gets a job because, you know that the other person didn't get it because of gender or racial or whatever, age, whatever the discrimination, what's your obligation? Mm-hmm. If you really want to change society in the right way.
When one is trying to break through what we always call the glass ceiling, mm-hmm. is there less reason to feel like you should have acted in the sense that if one is a pioneer and is trying to reach a certain level, if you raise too much, make too much noise, are you less likely to have those opportunities available for others? Or do you think it should have gone more that way?
So I guess I would say I'm not sure how it would have played if we'd responded differently, right? Hard to know. What I do know is what we did wasn't enough. So if we had been more aggressive in speaking out, would that have mean less women would have been promoted and therefore would be worse off? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced exactly what the right course was. I guess let me step back a moment and talk a second about why I this sort of came to me is last semester, I was teaching a class in ethics and diversity at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism in Phoenix, and the school is about two-thirds women. And we did 3 days on gender. We did 1 day on the role of women in journalism in the past. We did a day on the role of women in journalism today. And then I did a day on how to deal with the problems that you're going to face. We talked about sexual harassment. We talked about not being included when you should be included. We talked about people being dismissive of you. We talked about people interrupting you. We talked about not getting opportunities that you should get. You know, the list goes on and on. And the students were great. But afterwards, I thought, this is crazy that in 2017, I have to guide my female students mm-hmm. into how to respond to this. You know, something has got to change. And really, the end of my column was about we've got to change the culture. You know, one of the highlights of that class was when one of the male students raised his hand and said, "What can I do to help?" And so I think that part of the answer here is, yes, women need to speak up, but men need to speak up too. Mm-hmm. And it is about changing culture with all of us contributing, not just women.
Is there any sense that the culture is harder to change once it has evolved at least a little bit? And I say that because we think about these concepts that then the ones who are opposed are usually the ones who are even more, I'm going to dig in my heels and this isn't going to change. You're not going to tell me what to do.
I would say that one of the reasons it's harder today in some ways than it was for my generation is, for me, a lot of it was very blatant. I went in at one point as a reporter and applied for a job as an editor. And the guy said to me, "Well, no, you don't dress like an editor." And it's like, okay. And somebody else got the job, right? Today, that could happen. You know, what he really was saying is, you're not my picture of what an editor should look mm-hmm. like, right? Same thing could happen today, but nobody would say that. And so I think in some ways, women have an even bigger challenge because it's a much subtler and more politically correct, to some degree, response that people face.
Julia Wallace is a former executive for the Arizona Republic and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.